Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, what's going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome into episode 3 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. I'm your host, as always, inside linebacker, former inside linebacker for the University of Kentucky, Cash Daniel. And today we are recording out back on my patio. I'm sure you could hear the wind and all the other noises coming through, so I do apologize for that. The reason for that being is because I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today. I have for the past 2 days. And it's not COVID, thank God. I went and got a test this morning and came back negative. Really, the only thing I have is a severe sore throat and cold sweats that I hate them. So, but I had a buddy call in some antibiotics and some ibuprofen, and, you know, we're taking those and taking it easy. And, you know, we'll be back full strength here within the next 24 to 48 hours. I'm sure this happens to me probably almost every year in the transition period between summer and fall. So, I'll be all right. But enough about me and enough about my sap story of being sick and all. We're here to talk about some Kentucky football. We're going to be looking back at – well, we're going to be looking back briefly. We're not going to look back like we usually do in the last two episodes. We're going to look back briefly. We're going to talk about some things that I liked, what I saw, some things that I didn't like, how we can improve moving forward through – yeah, I'm just glad the air decided to kick on here, and this is great. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I'm sorry again for not sounding as – excited as I usually do. I'm literally trying everything in me just to even record this episode. I have zero body strength whatsoever, and I know you guys are going to sit here and tell me it was probably COVID, this and that. Well, I went and got tested and it said negative, so it is not COVID. Just a sore throat, some cold sweats, we'll be all right. But we're also going to look back at UT Chattanooga's win over North Alabama. We're also going to talk about the loss that they had against Austin Peay State University, which ironically was my first college offer, my first Division I offer rather than. So we'll be looking back at them, what the Cats have to do in terms of keys to victory to pull out the win here in week 3. We'll look across college football. I can't do impressions today. I know we had Stone Cold Steve Austin on for week 1, and we had Macho Man Randy Savage on for week 2. But you need that rasp in your voice to pull off some impersonations, and I just don't have it today. So we're going to be looking back. It'll be Cash Daniels pick 6 games of the week, actually. So sorry we couldn't have a special guest on today. Well, we do have a special guest on today. Inside linebacker for the Kentucky Wildcats, true senior DeAndre Square, a guy that I've spent a lot of time with in the film room, on the practice field, and obviously on the game field, a guy that has my utmost respect when it comes to how he handles his life on a day-to-day basis and how he approaches the game of football day in and day out. As always, this and more coming up right here on Game Day in the Bluegrass, presented by Patriot RV.
This is Game Day in the Bluegrass with Cash Daniel, presented by Patriot RV.
You can set my house on fire, baby.
And welcome back into episode 3 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. Like I said before, I'm the washed up former inside linebacker for the Kentucky Wildcats, Cash Daniel. And man, I'm just excited that we made it to episode 3. I mean, we got a long season to go, but just knowing that we're recording the 3rd episode and getting it out there to you guys, we really do appreciate you guys listening to this. I'll love when people tweet me and say, listening to your show, love your show. Guys, this is what it's all about. You know, I want this to be a fan interaction show. I want you guys to ask questions that I can answer right here on the show. You know, starting up when we get the more proper equipment, we'll be going live from the RV. If you guys haven't seen the RV, that's over in the RV lot, the orange lot as they call it. And you really can't miss it. It's the only wrapped RV in the lot, and it's got my ugly ass wrapped literally all over it. So I can't wait to take it on the road to places like Louisville and Gainesville and some other places in the SEC. I'm sure that'll go over really well with the opposing fans, with my dumbass coming in there wrapped all over the side of a bus. But it is week three here in Lexington, the Cats' third straight home game. Mark Stoops and the Kentucky Wildcats took care of business last weekend in the SEC opener against the Missouri Tigers with a final score of 35-28. Obviously, there were some good things that happened in that game. There were some things that we could correct. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, there was a couple times where I think we almost literally gave that game away. But shout out to the offense for being new and informed, of being able to push the ball vertically down the field and be able to mix things up throughout the drive. And a shout out to the defense for bending and not breaking. I mean, literally, just when it comes to defensive football, even if they're driving on you, just keep making them snap the ball. And that's what Kentucky did. Really looking back at it, one of the things that I didn't like about the game is that this is now the second week where Kentucky has lost a turnover battle. We had two turnovers last week, one interception by Will Levis and a fumble by Chris Rodriguez, something that you never really see out of Chris Rodriguez. He's a guy that really talks about his ball security and how much it really does mean to him. But look for Chris to bounce back. I mean, the guy had 27 carries for 206 yards and three touchdowns. Originally, they gave him four touchdowns, but then they looked back at the film and gave it to my man, the big man up front, Eli Cox. So shout out to Eli for getting his first touchdown, man. That was something special to see. You always love to see big guys get in the end zone, so it was great to see Eli get his. Looking at the passing game, you had Will Levis, 10 of 18 for 179 yards with one touchdown and one interception, like I said. His primary target being that kid from Western Hills, Wandale Robinson, five receptions, 101 yards. That kid, I mean, he is so fast. He's so fast that he makes fast people look not fast. I mean, the time when they handed it off to him on that jet and he literally stuck his toe in the ground and got vertical upfield, that was probably one of the more beautiful jet sweep runs that I've seen in a long time. He didn't stretch it out looking for the hole. He stuck his foot in the ground and made a hole for himself and ended up getting, you know, 50-plus yards off of it. And like I said, going back to the things that I didn't like, man, we got to take care of the ball better. I mean, I know that the two interceptions that Will Levis has thrown has been literally bounced off the face mask of Kentucky's wide receivers into the hands of the defenders. But when it comes to it, man, just like an old coach when I was there said, when the ball is in your hands, the program is literally in your hands. So you have to take care of that football, especially moving forward with the schedule that we have. Now looking forward to this week against Tennessee Chattanooga, obviously one of the keys to victory for ourselves is ball security and being able to take care of the ball. Now, when we look back at the Kentucky game from last week, one of the things that I liked, actually it was really the thing that I liked the most, man, and it had nothing to do with the game. I'm not sure if you guys saw my Instagram post from Sunday, but it was Saturday night was special, man. Saturday night was really special. Unfortunately, last year, Kentucky football was hit with so much tragedy with the loss of John Schlarman and the devastating illness of our brother, Chris Oates. And I got to see Chris for the first time in over a year on Saturday night. I got to go up to him and give him a big hug, see that smile that's always on his face. I got to talk to his mom. I got to talk to his girlfriend, his other family members that are there. And, man, after over a year and a half of just small text messages, whatever he could type back to me, you know, being able to go out there and see my little bro again, you know, I had to fight back some tears. I ain't going to lie to you, just because that literally is my brother. There's a lot of people that play this game and, you know, they hype up about, you know, the brotherhood side of the game. And for me, that was the most important thing about the game that I loved the most, was the brotherhood aspect of everything and how we're always going to take care of our own. And the unfortunate tragedies that happened with Chris and his family, it just makes you wish you could do more. And so we went ahead and we put out the GoFundMe link that our brother Christian Keaton created for him and his family, and the donations kept rolling in. And so it's always good to see my brother and literally try to do anything and everything I can to make sure, one, that the Big Blue Nation, the fans, never forget him and what he did for this program, and two, just to be able to show you that this thing is for life. This football stuff, it goes way beyond the game. We always strive to look out for our brother, big or little, and we're always going to have each other's back. So the favorite thing that happened for me Saturday night was going up and seeing my brother Chris. Chris, I love you, man. It was so good to see you. I can't wait to do some more things to help raise some money for you and your family. I got some ideas cooking up that I think would be great for everybody involved. So that was the thing that I took away from the Missouri game. And now when you look back at the game itself, one thing that I did love about the game was literally how we're able to push the ball vertically downfield, whether it would be in the pass game or in the run game, just like I was talking about with Wandale Robinson, literally sticking his foot in the ground and getting vertical for a 50-plus yard play on a jet sweep. The thing about it is that Kentucky's defense has to come out and be more consistent. I believe that the first drive and the second drive when we came out, we went up a quick 14-0, And I believe that guys kind of got complacent. They were waiting on other guys to go make the play. As the game went on, there was a couple big plays made here and there. Probably the biggest play of the night on the defensive side of the ball was made by a transfer from Ole Miss, Jaquez Jones, with the pick in the middle there at inside linebacker. The guy really, I love watching Jaquez Jones play, man. And the first time that I saw my phone buzz from an, I can't remember, it was Bleacher Report, ESPN, something, came up and said, inside linebacker from Ole Miss, Jaquez Jones, enters transfer portal. And instantly, as soon as I saw that, I texted inside linebackers coach John Summerall, who coached at Ole Miss a couple years ago and actually got to coach Jaquez for a little bit. I said, hey, hop on this dude right now. Get him to Lexington. And he texted me back, said, already on it, big dog. That's just the kind of the game style that he brings, the kind of attitude that he brings at that middle linebacker position is something that I think goes really well hand-in-hand with Square and how he approaches the game. I believe that's kind of what made me and Square click really good out there together, was that the way he looked at the game was one way, the way that I looked at the game was another way, and there was a lot of similarities in there, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, we still had the same principles of how the game should be played, but just different styles of play here and there. But I think that they mesh really well together. I think that the defensive backs in the second half of the secondary, you know, we're running a little thin. Unfortunately, we got some things going on with a couple DBs. So you're relying on your veterans with Cedric Dork and Yusuf Corker. They're doing an unbelievable job back there. I know Ced had a PI call on him late in the game. And so that's just another thing that you can't have as a veteran leader of that defensive back group. You got to know what's a smart football play and not what's a smart football play. But things happen out there, and I would rather have a penalty than a touchdown any single day. So, you know, you really can't be mad at the kid. But looking forward, like I said, Kentucky needs to hold on to the ball better. They need to be able to establish a vertical passing game early, I believe, in the SEC, being able to take those shots vertically downfield with the play-action run, obviously coming off of being able to run the football down people's throats with inside zone, with outside zone, with gap schemes, and then, boom, have Will Levis pull that and tuck that ball underneath his hip, roll out, and hit somebody deep down the field. So I'm looking really forward to seeing what Kentucky can do against another inferior opponent. Really, I wish they would have spaced these games out a lot more better than what they have. You had an inferior opponent week one, you had an SEC opponent week two, and now you got another inferior opponent week three. But really, besides last year, it seems like that was always the case. I remember in 2018, we opened up against Central Michigan. Then we went down to the Swamp and beat Florida. And then the next week, we came back and played Murray State. So I guess you're kind of wanting to get those games really out of the way, but in a sense, it would make more sense, like, for your team overall, is that if you went ahead and had three SEC games back-to-back-to-back and then another inferior opponent there. But from the mental side of it, you know, I can see how that could really mess with some players and kind of take their foot off the gas at times. And so I guess it's really just about preference of when you want to play these teams. And I know that Coach Stoops and staff, they want to get those games over with because they know this is not the caliber of competition that we will be seeing in the SEC week in and week out. So another inferior opponent coming up this week for the Kentucky Wildcats, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. 1-1 total. They're 1-0 on the road. Opening their season, they had lost to Austin Peay State University. Like I said in the beginning of the show, that was ironically my first Division I offer, and I'll never forget that time when that coach called and said you had an offer from Austin Peay. Just knowing that my dad was never going to have to pay for me to go to college after that point was really what got me so excited, is because I know my dad, when we were growing up, man, he sacrificed a lot for me to get me to where I was and get me to where I am today. And I guess it was a sense of being able to pay him back in some aspects. So really do appreciate Austin Peay State for extending that offer to me. And if it was the only offer that I had, I definitely would have been down there for the Governors. But fortunately, Mark Stoops and the Kentucky Wildcats gave this Eastern Kentucky boy an opportunity, and I never looked back. Speaking of looking back on last week's game for the Chattanooga Mocs against the North Alabama Lions. Also, again, shout out Tanner Fink, former UK fullback/tight end. Graduate transferred to the Division II North Alabama Lions, where he was a starter for 1 year. So shout out to our man, Tanner Fink. Once again, he's probably 35,000 feet in the air somewhere flying for some rich businessman. So stay safe up there, Fink. We'll see you soon, buddy. And when you look back on UT Chattanooga's game and their win over North Alabama, quarterback Cole Copeland was 10 of 22 with a 45.5% completion rating for 98 yards with an average of 4.5 yards per throw, no touchdowns, two interceptions, and his longest pass for only being 16 yards. Looking at the run game for UT Chattanooga, Aliam Ford, number 32 for the Chattanooga Mocs. He had 172 rushing yards off 39 rushing attempts for 2 touchdowns and averaged 4.4 yards per carry. And looking at the passing game for UT Chattanooga, their most decorated receiver, Regaldon Henderson, he's had 8 receptions for 89 yards, averaging 11.1 yards per reception and receiving 1 touchdown out of those 8 receptions. So another inferior opponent for Kentucky. They literally have to come out and dominate this bunch from start to finish. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. If you want to go ahead and prove to yourself that next week when you travel down to Columbia, South Carolina, you want to put the fear of God in South Carolina, knowing that this offense, the way it's rolling, the athletes that it has, is coming down there to put an absolute ass-kicking on you. On the defensive side of things, you're looking at a defense that is resilient. You're looking at a defense that has made some mistakes here and there, but they are a bend-don't-break defense. With the leaders that they have on that field and with the leaders that they have on that coaching staff, I see Kentucky walking into Kroger Field and walking out of Kroger Field victorious in great fashion, almost similar fashion to what we did against ULM. Now, let's go ahead and talk about this AP poll here for a second. It seems like ever since even I was in college, nobody respects Kentucky football. I mean, you have Miami at number 24. Literally the other day I tweeted about it. Like, how in the hell do you have Miami in the top 25 when they literally got dirt rolled by Alabama? And then they next week they go out and barely pull off a 2-point victory against Appalachian State. Like, how in the hell is a team like Miami in the top 25? Is it because people are still living off the hype of the U in the 80s when, you know, Coach Lamar, shout out Lamar, when he was there, or Michael Irvin or those guys? They've not been good since 2001. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time, like, a Miami football has been, like, a legit top 25 contender. And this year, we're literally getting dirt rolled by Alabama and then, you know, the turnover chain and all this other.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, I just don't see Miami being in the top 25 over a team like Kentucky. I also think that Kentucky goes down to Coastal Carolina or welcomes in Coastal Carolina to Commonwealth Stadium. Like I said, it is never Kroger Field. It will always be Commonwealth Stadium. And I believe that Kentucky dirt rolls Coastal Carolina. There's another couple teams in there like Cincinnati. You know, I know people are getting behind the Cincinnati bandwagon, but at the same time, I just don't see it. I really just don't see it. I know they've had some impressive wins over the past couple years, but as number 8 and literally in the top 10 from the American Conference, I just don't see it. I know some people are going to disagree with me, but that's fine. So coming up on this next segment, we go into the interview with our special guest this week, Mr. DeAndre Square. We're going to talk about his preparation going into games. We're going to talk about what he sees out there on the field and what he has to do this week to get the Kentucky defense rolling. All this and more coming up on the second part of Game Day in the Bluegrass. Like I said, we do appreciate you guys listening, so make sure you come back for the second segment. We'll be talking with DeAndre Square. We'll be looking at other college football games across the country, what the Cats have to do to pull off the victory, and we'll also talk some tailgating, man. There's some tailgating ideas, some things that I've liked seeing out there ever since stepping over to the other side of Kentucky football, being able to enjoy myself rather than literally just have to be in war zone mode the whole time. Like I said, all this and more coming up in the second part or second half hour or whatever you want to call it of Game Day in the Bluegrass, presented by Patriot RV. And welcome back to the second half of Game Day in the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Cash Daniel, and let's go ahead and get right into it. Not the interview with DeAndre Square. Let's go ahead and talk about something that's new kind of in my life, which is the tailgating scene outside of Kroger Field. It's been an unbelievable experience for me, man, honestly. I mean, I've never been able to tailgate really for a college football game. Like I said, I've always been in the hotel. I've always been playing. Really, the only games that I've ever got to tailgate for was when me and my family would go to Cleveland and watch the Browns play. And that was a hell of a time in itself. I mean, I can remember so many great memories of going up there with my dad, my uncle, my grandfather, my cousins, and the great things and experiences that we had up there. So being able to have my own tailgate spot with my own RV with my friends from back home and some other people that we've met through school, we've met through sports, or really anybody and everybody that wants to come by and hang out, man, you guys are always welcome to come by and hang out with us at the RV. I love when people come up, that really have never met me before. You know, we like to shake hands, we talk. I love meeting new people, man, and to hear your all story and to hear, you know, there was one guy that came up to me last week and he said, I've always wanted to shake your hand. Honestly, listen here. Yard is closed. Outside where I'm recording this episode on my back patio, in literally my backyard, so I have a fenced-in backyard. On the other side of this fence is Blackburn Correctional Facility, which is a minimum security prison that has no fences, no, like, loaded gun guards, nothing. And they have, like, 50 or 60 or so walk-offs. They call them walk-offs. They don't call them escapes. They call them walk-offs. And so we're out here no matter what time of day it is. I'm sure they got their chow call. They got their yard and everything else. So we get to hear some great prison talk here. Going back to the story of the gentleman coming up and shaking my hand, he has told me that he has had his RV pass and the same RV in the same spot every home game since 1987. I mean, that's unreal. It really just shows you how great of a fan base the Big Blue Nation is. I say this in almost every interview that I've ever done. It's not cliche. It's not to hype anyone up. It's not to make anybody happy or anything like that. I really do truly feel this in my heart when I say that University of Kentucky fans are some of the best, if not the best, college athletic fans in the country. I mean, no matter what sport it is, if it's football, basketball, baseball, women's volleyball, women's tennis, women's softball. I mean, when you look at the state of Kentucky, I mean, the closest professional sports teams we have is either in Cincinnati or in Nashville. And so, obviously, I think that everybody and their brother that I know from around up here is a Bengals fan, the Reds fans, and for hockey, they're Predators fans. And so, I believe that, like, the University of Kentucky is like Kentucky's professional sports teams in a sense, and that it almost kind of feels like that when so many people can come up to you, like when I was in college or post playing career. They truly do care about people who came and gave their all for the university. Also, they care about their Kentucky boys too. So I want to say thank you to everybody out there that's a member of the Big Blue Nation. Thank you for a playing career which made so fun to play just because I was playing out there in front of you guys, and thank you for coming over and hanging out with us at the tailgate. We really do enjoy it, and we want to have more people over there each and every week. So come by, hang out, have a beer with me, and we'll talk, man. It's all good. Now let's go into this week's interview with inside linebacker DeAndre Square. Listen to what he has to say, and then after that we'll go look around the top stories or the top games of college football this week. We'll answer some Twitter questions, and then we'll wrap up the episode. But this week's guest on Game Day in the Bluegrass, senior inside linebacker, DeAndre Square.
All right, now we are joined by my man, my brother, DeAndre Square. DeAndre, what's going on, my man?
What's up? What's up, Kay? Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Thank you for hopping on with us, man. This is episode 3 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. I did Josh week 1. I did Will last week. I was like, you know, man, I got to show my inside linebacker stuff. I got to get my dog on here.
Yes, sir.
But man, it's you're entering your senior year. You know, I remember the day when you first arrived on campus, and just to see how much growth that you've had, not only on the field but physically as well, man. I mean, it seems like every year you become a smarter football player. And I tell people this all the time. I said, for as young as DeAndre was in that 2018-2019 team, he really did have a mindset of a veteran. And so, you know, a lot of guys, you know, are focused, dialed in, you know, when they have a purpose of doing so. So my first question to you, man, is, you know, a lot of people play football for a lot of different reasons, but give me your why. What is your why of, like, why you go out every single day and do this day in and day out?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
I would say, like, you know, a lot of people, they just say, like, you know, it's all I know, but football is more than just what I know. I've been doing it for a long time. It's been my favorite thing to do. Like, it's my favorite escape from the world. So I feel like, I mean, God's blessed me with this talent. I feel like I have to use it. Like, you know, I can't give up until he says I'm done. So I just go in every day and just try to play as hard as I can.
That's all you can do, bro. That's all you can. Well, man, heading into this week against an inferior opponent, UT Chattanooga, you know, you guys opened up last week with SEC play against the Missouri team to where, you know, it looked like at times, you know, you guys came out in the first couple drives, you're real dominant, got up to a quick 14-0 lead, and then it kind of just seemed like things kind of would slip here and there. What are the things you guys have to correct this week in preparation to make sure that none of those leaky holes or explosive plays happen this week against Chattanooga?
We just have to be ourselves and be better with our details. I feel like we wasn't really detailed. Guys were trying to strain. Guys were trying to go hard. But the details of our jobs, I feel like we got to do better this week against Chattanooga because, I mean, we don't want them to expose anything. So we just got to fix our little mistakes. And I feel like we can be a really good tight defense as long as we fix the little things.
I agree, man. I agree. The one thing I always say about Coach White and his defense, man, is that, you know, they may bend, but they ain't going to break. And so, it's, you know, just showing the resiliency that you guys have shown not only against Missouri, but against ULM as well. You know, looking back on it, you know, man, it's just been awesome to see you, like I said before in the beginning of this interview, just to see you grow, not only your physical side, but who you are as a man and how you handle your business day in and day out. You know, there's so many things that go on in a college athlete's life, and especially nowadays with the NIL rules and things like that. How do you stay disciplined within yourself? And another question is it ever hard at times to remain that and keep that, you know, ninja-like discipline that you got?
It's just like I've been this way for a long time in my life, so it's like muscle memory. I never was big on going out. I never was big on doing a lot of things. So it's just, I always been a focused kid. That's what my mom taught me. She taught me how to just be focused and just never give up on your dream. So I just been chasing that. And it does get hard at times when you have all these, like, it's a lot of people in your face that, like, you know, they want you to do this, want you to do that. But you got to stay the course and remember why you came here.
Hey, man, coming from personal experience, half of that's fugazi. So you're light years ahead of my egotistical ass when I was in when I was there. But, you know, it just shows, man, you know, that you got the right frame of mind on. You got a good head on your shoulders. And that's one thing that I always loved about you. And one thing I always respected. Moving on to the guy beside you in the middle, Jaquez Jones had a big play late in the game last week, the transfer from Ole Miss. What have you seen from Jaquez, you know, since he stepped on campus? And, you know, what does he bring to the table each and every day in that linebacker room?
He reminds me of me a little bit, just a lot. He's bigger, but he's another high football IQ guy, another leader type of guy. And I think our chemistry has been pretty good. I mean, last year with Jamin and then the year before that with Chu, pretty good rooms. And this year I was feeling like I was gonna have to, you know, like carry a lot of young guys with me, but him stepping up and him transferring was big for me and the team. So he's been working since he got there. And I mean, like, I appreciate him. I'm glad that he chose to come here, and he's just been busting his ass ever since he stepped in the door.
I remember seeing his name pop up on, I can't remember if it was Bleacher Report or ESPN that first reported it, but you know, I knew Donk coached him as a true freshman here down at Ole Miss. And as soon as I saw that, I texted Donk. I said, hey, man, you got to get on his ass. And he said, hey, dog, we already on it. And, you know, man, I was talking to Donk the other day. People don't know who Donk is. Donk is a.k.a. inside linebackers coach, Mr. John Summerall. That's a little inside joke for the inside linebacker boys. Little YB action, you know, YB.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, one thing I always talk about him, man, and I always ask how you're doing. I always ask how – you know, everybody's doing, man. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, that he told me and one thing I saw, man, you know, you kind of, and this is just me being your brother, man. sometimes it seems like you're putting a lot on yourself. You know what I mean? And at times that's good. You know, at times that's how a lot of people in this game thrive. You know, they say they set out a standard, they set out a goal, and there is no plan B to reach that goal. You know, there is no getting 75% there and saying, you know, man, forget this and turn your back away from it, man. One thing I'll tell you, man, you know, I've told you this before, rely on those guys like Jaquez, you know, rely on those guys, even like Jared, you know, because, man, you can't do it all. I mean, as far as a leadership thing goes, as far as just putting too much mental stress on you, man, just you've been playing phenomenal. You and Jaquez and anybody that's out there with you, you guys look smooth in your communications. You look smooth with your checks. You guys move around. You disguise well. So, man, just keep being you, all right? Don't worry about everything else. Everything take care of itself and just go out and play, you know, one play at a time. You know, I know you want to make every damn play, but you always sideline to sideline no matter what. But, man, you just got to let the – and I know you know this, and I'm just reminding you, man. You know, just let it come to you. It's a long season ahead. You know, you guys got to take care of business this week. You know, one thing I said in my show today was that, you know, when you play teams like this leading into a long SEC schedule, you got to assert your dominance in games like this. Right. So my last question for you is that, you know, what do you guys have to come out and do as far as winning the turnover battle, making sure there's no explosive plays, no runs over 10, no pass over 15, and just absolutely come out and dominate this game? What do you guys have to do as a defense as a whole to make that happen?
We got to continue to strain and focus on, like, the small details in our job, whether it's staying in our gaps or, you know, being detailed in our drops. It's just the little things for us that we got to make sure that we're tight on, and not necessarily be tight, but be laser focused on, so we can, you know, we just want to go out there and have fun and, like, play like the defense that we know we can be, and like just achieve our standards. That's what we really have to do. You know, we got standards as a defense, and we want to go out there every time we touch the field and achieve those standards. So I feel like if we do that, we can be a top defense in the nation.
Absolutely, man. There's no doubt about it. You know, you guys got great leadership in every position. You got great leadership in your coaching staff with Coach White, you know, Donk, everybody from there and down the line. You know, it's always fun to go out and watch you guys play, man. I miss it every day. I miss playing with your ass. I miss playing with J-Dub and all the boys out there. But this side of Kentucky football, you know, man, it ain't so bad. You know, it ain't so bad once you when you're up there with the Keeneland people, be able to watch it, be able to watch you work, man. But DeAndre, man, I appreciate you, man, hopping on with us. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you got a lot of stuff going on, man. Good luck this weekend. Good luck the rest of the season, dog. You're my brother. Love you for life. And
you too, man.
Stay healthy, man. You know, you ever need anything, you know, you can call me, and you know, I'll be there at your doorstep, ready to roll. So I appreciate you, man. Yeah. You have a great night. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you too. Thank you.
No problem. Inside linebacker DeAndre Square, right here on episode 3 of Game Day in the Bluegrass.
Always a great time getting to sit down and talk with my brother, DeAndre Square. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day for coming on Game Day in the Bluegrass. And thank you to literally everybody that's been on before, Will Levis and Josh Paschal being our first two guests. Always, like I said, a great to be able to sit down with my brother, DeAndre Square, a guy who I really do appreciate the way he plays the game. And I really do appreciate him choosing the University of Kentucky, coming out here, not only playing with me, but and here's the thing, man. I always try to be the best teammate that I could possibly be. I know I wasn't the most athletic. I know I didn't make a lot of plays. But the couple things that I did do was I got guys lined up. I had guys ready to play. And I knew the playbook inside and out. And so to see DeAndre kind of take that leadership role really does make me proud as an older guy that, you know, kind of showed him the ropes on that kind of deal. And I'm not tooting my own horn or anything here, guys. I'm really not. But it's just great to see DeAndre take over the leadership role, how he approaches practice each and every day, how he approaches games week in and week out, and what he has to do to prepare to go out there and give his best day in and day out. So thank you again, DeAndre Square, for the interview. It's great as always. And now we look forward to other games across college football this week. One thing that I'll talk about that happened last week, man, how about Texas getting beat by Arkansas? Sam Pittman, the former offensive line coach for the Georgia Bulldogs, took over for the Arkansas Razorbacks a couple years ago. And, man, it seems like he is turning that program around, man. Woo, pig, suey, and turn on that damn jukebox. I love seeing Coach Pittman's post-game speeches in there with his team. You can tell that those guys respect him. You can tell that those guys love to play for him. And it's great just to see Texas get beat. Horns down for life. Welcome to the SEC, or a taste of what's to come when you come, when you do come to the SEC. So you might want to rethink that, Texas, or you might want to establish an SEC mindset before you come in here and get your asses stomped each and every week. So that's just my advice to Texas. Still horns down. Okay, now let's go ahead and look across college football across the country for week three. We're going to talk about the spreads, who's going to cover, who's going to not cover, and who overall is going to win. First game, we're looking at Nebraska at number three Oklahoma, with Oklahoma being minus 22.5, 12 p.m. kickoff on Fox. You know, when you look at this game, this used to be a marquee game in the old Big 12. Now, the question is whether can Nebraska cover a three-plus touchdown spread? I mean, the Huskers are 6-4 as a road underdog under Scott Frost, and the offense should put up enough points on the Sooners. But just looking at Nebraska's season this, man, I just don't see that happening. But I see Oklahoma winning. But I don't see them covering the spread. I believe they're going to win about 45-24, 45-25, you know, somewhere around in there. A high-scoring game for Oklahoma, but I do see Nebraska being able to put up some points and have Oklahoma fail to cover the spread. Thank you, air conditioning system, for the house kicking on again. We really do appreciate you ruining this audio. Like I said, guys, I apologize. I'm just literally having to do everything I can right now to get this episode out to you, so I hope you appreciate my grind. Next game, we're going to look at New Mexico and former UK quarterback, probably one of the best UK quarterbacks, in my opinion, that's ever come through here in terms of success, and a lot of people don't give him credit for it, but Mr. Terry Wilson. Terry and New Mexico head into Kyle Field and the Texas A&M Aggies, with Texas A&M having a minus 28.5 point spread. You can find this game at 12 p.m. noon on SEC Network. And I'm sorry, Terry, I love you, brother, and I love what you're doing. You had a great game last week. You had a great game the week before. But, man, you know how Texas A&M rolls. I mean, we went down there. Should have won that game my junior year. But you know how Texas A&M rolls, and they're on a roll right now. So I could see Texas A&M winning this game, and I could see them covering the 28.5 spread. Now, the next game on the list is number 8 Cincinnati. I know we went ahead and talked about Cincinnati earlier in the show and how I think Kentucky would beat them. They are minus 3 this weekend at Indiana. And Indiana is probably one of the most up-and-coming football programs, especially in the Big Ten, you know, than we've seen in quite a while. You know, it just seems like the guys love playing for their head coach. I mean, the guy brings so much intensity. He brings love and passion to that program. And really, if you got a guy like that that's leading your team day in and day out, that's what makes guys want to come out and play for you and literally give their all. But when you're looking at the spread, you know, this is one of the Cincinnati's biggest games against a Power 5 opponent. And, you know, Indiana offers a tough challenge. The Hoosiers recalibrated against Idaho last week, and the quarterback duel between Desmond Ridder and Michael Penix Jr., you know, should be fun. But the Hoosiers are 3-7-1 as a home underdog under Tom Allen. And I think that, you know, Cincinnati goes into this game at Indiana, you know, a little too overconfident. And I believe that Indiana comes out with Tom Allen and they win this game in an upset fashion. I don't believe that Cincinnati has what it takes to pull off a win this week at Indiana. I'm going to go ahead and take Indiana on the upset over the Cincinnati Bearcats. Moving on to number 15, Virginia Tech at West Virginia this weekend. Minus 2.5 for the West Virginia Mountaineers. This is a 12 p.m. kickoff on Fox Sports 1. Now, the Black Diamond Trophy is in play here for the first time since 2017, and it will be awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome to see these guys back on the field with this rivalry of a game. You know, we're a little surprised that the Hokies are an underdog, given the promising start under Justin, is it Fuente? I believe it's Fuente, you know, the way he spells it. But, you know, I see Virginia Tech going into this game at West Virginia and wins in an upset. I'm going to go with, I don't know, 28-24, 28-25, something like that. But I can see the Hokies going into Morgantown this weekend and taking care of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Now, looking at number 16, Coastal Carolina at Buffalo. Coastal Carolina is 2-0, and they'll look to continue that run on the road against a tough MAC opponent in Buffalo. But Buffalo lost 28-3 to Nebraska last week in week two. It's asking for a little more on the road, but I believe that Grayson McCall delivers another cover. I'm going to go with Coastal Carolina. They're going to win 38-21, and they will cover the spread. So those are my pick six games of the week. May not have been six games, but I'm absolutely roasting out here on the back patio recording this episode, and we only have so many minutes left till we wrap up. So let's go ahead and get into our Twitter questions for this week. First question coming from our buddy John, saying, Cash, Kentucky has looked impressive over these past 2 weeks. What is your key to victory for the Kentucky offense to go out and dominate against Chattanooga? Well, John, just like I said earlier, you know, Kentucky has to come out and establish dominance from the first snap to the last snap. basically almost everything like when the when we previewed the Louisiana Monroe game. They have to go out there and show them that they are the inferior opponent. They have to treat them like they are a little brother and make them go back to Chattanooga with their tails tucked between their legs. You can't give teams like this an opportunity to have find inspiration. I mean, you know, we look back at a game a couple years ago, like I said, when we played Austin Peay State University, they were up 14-0 at one point. You know, so teams like this, this is their Super Bowl. When they're playing up against a team that's in the SEC, like Kentucky, you know, Kentucky's got all this hype around them. You don't think that the first thing that comes to their mind is that, well, man, if we beat this bunch, you know, they'll be talking about us. This is their Super Bowl. This is Chattanooga's Super Bowl. And so Kentucky has to go out there and literally squash their dreams. They have to go out there. Will Levis has to be as calm, cool, and collective as he's been these past 2 weeks. You know, like I said in the interview last week, he just looks so calm, cool, collective in that pocket. It seems like he's letting the game flow to him. Taking time, reading his progressions, and make sure that he has the right read and to make the right throw. You know, when you look back at things, like I said, we have to take care of the ball. We can't be able to afford dumb penalties, dumb turnovers, and give this University of Tennessee Chattanooga team any kind of hope. You know, Wandell Robinson, I expect to have a big game. I expect Chris Rodriguez to have another big game. I expect the Big Blue Wall to go out there and absolutely dominate with alongside of our tight ends and Brendan Bates and Justin Rigg. We have to establish the play action pass and be able to push the ball vertically downfield. And really, you just have to go out there and beat this bunch. I mean, you literally have to go out there and show why you're the talk of the SEC and why people should put some respect on Kentucky football's name heading in to the week two, well, not week two, but the second SEC game next week against South Carolina. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today as far as questions go because, you know, we're running out of time here. We got to fill two 21-minute segments, and we're running just a little bit over. But we really do appreciate you guys tuning in to Episode 3 of Game Day in the Bluegrass. Thank you to DeAndre Square for being our special guest this week in our interview. Big thank you to Brandon Arvey and his bunch over at Branded 78 for being the producers of this audio. And I also want to thank our friends over at Patriot RV for providing us this platform, giving us the opportunity to have this show and having a great tailgate spot. Again, guys, come out, tailgate with me and the boys, have a beer on me, and we'll watch some Kentucky football and have a great time. So until next week, I'm Cash Daniel signing off. This is Game Day in the Bluegrass. Enjoy the game, everybody.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.